this is the week we're dealing with the catastrophic, now listen, devolution of the environment, of creation. This is Rust Is Dark, ShatterTheDarkness.net, and we are ready for another week. Four nights, Monday at 6, Wednesday at 6, Friday at 6, but Tuesday night, SurviveToThrive.net, that's at 7 p.m. You can take a look at ShatterTheDarkness.net, and there you will find all of the, titles for each day, but the topic for April 19th through the 23rd, the catastrophic devolution of the environment. Let me say it this way, the catastrophic devolution of creation. Now, we all know this. We've heard these words, in the beginning God created. Now, let's just for, not the fun of it, but for the understanding of the depth of God being the creator, let's do it this way. In the beginning, the aliens created. A master intelligent race created. Let's talk about nothing. Out of nothing, creation came. Now, those are two areas I think we need to, you know, just like a train running right into it. I just think we need to go right into, because I was sitting a number of years ago at the Theosophical Society. And a man who was an alien hunter for 40 years, a researcher. Now, he was studying, he was searching, he was looking. He did confess that he never engaged the aliens. But let me tell you something. This man was very, very clear about his belief that they had created the world, a master race. By some level of intelligent design, the aliens did it. Now, here is where I think we need to rock our intellectual process. The aliens, all the study of the aliens, demonstrate they are finite, they are limited, they've got to go from one place to another place. Even if they existed as extraterrestrial, even if they did, then we've got to deal with, could they create a planet? But then again, if the planet was already here and they just simply seeded the Earth with their mixture of DNA, then the question still remains, then who created the Earth with the atmosphere, with the air, with the ability for living beings to breathe and to have food, to live and to dwell? And so when we go to the issue of the aliens, the ones, you know, that kidnap people and sexually use people and spy on people and engage military and all that kind of stuff. If they are extraterrestrial, if they are really out there, if they are really the originators of the human race, you know what I said to the man? With all of the pain, the death, the cancer, disease, the wars, with all the things that go on in this world and all the pain and depression, loneliness, emptiness, all the things that we experience that includes death, that begs the question of meaning and purpose and all the rest, the issue is, if the aliens did create the human race, here's what I asked the man, a 40-year researcher. I mean, probably read every book, everything, knows it all, very educated, very serious. But I said, in the midst of the crowd that was there, when I raised my hand, he pointed to me and I said, listen, if the aliens did create us, and not God, but a master race of super beings, with all the pain, all the destruction, all the rape, everything else, including death, instead of using God's name in vain, can we say, aliens, damn it? Can we use the aliens and curse their name for the trouble in human society? That got an immediate laugh that was instantly curtailed with a serious and almost then angry look because everybody caught it. If it's true that the aliens made us, then they are responsible for all of the pain and the death and the harm and the hurt and the meaninglessness and the abductions and all the stuff. They've not helped us. They've not come to our aid. They've not picked us up and washed off the blood and revived us. It's worse than deism. It's far worse than atheism. And so, unless we're going to use the alien's name in vain, of course, I don't believe that there's an extraterrestrial race yet. I believe there's extra-dimensional. I believe they had nothing to do with creation, but they brought an invasion in the context of glorious, awesome creation, which includes the human race, the Imago Dei, the original creation of humankind as eternal beings, spiritual, that could walk and talk with God. Now, we are entering into a week. If you're coming on right now, I want to say welcome. This is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. That's where we list the topic for the week and the titles for each night. Topic for the week is Creation is Awesome, Alive. I'm sorry, that's the title for tonight, Monday night, 6 p.m. Creation is awesome, alive, and a witness, but not well. It's waiting for a new day. That begs the question, you know, it's waiting for a new day. How does it know? How does it feel? Is creation sentient? Is it alive? Well, we're going to get into all those things, but you got to give me a few minutes for some introductions, welcomes, the news, and the updates, and we'll have 45 minutes to delve into tonight's subject. For the week, the catastrophic devolution of the environment. Listen, the volcano, Iceland, the earthquake now that just occurred in Afghanistan, and about a week or so ago in China, and about a month ago in Chile, and then in Haiti, and around the world, we all feel and understand that the environment seems to be in distress and decay, and it's beyond Al Gore's grip to see what we're going to be talking about here and this week. So I want to welcome you at this 6 to 7 o'clock hour Eastern Standard Time. I want to welcome all the regular listeners and new listeners. I want to say we appreciate the emails that come in. And during the show, you can say hello if you'd like. Send a question. ShatterXmail@SBCGlobal.net. ShatterXmail@SBCGlobal.net. And tonight, creation. And I'll possibly tonight be deep into the woods doing some mountain bike trail, but on my feet, and doing some exercise and so forth through there. Deep pines, about 5 miles, and I will enjoy every minute of it. It's cool here today compared to last week, and beautiful day, and the trees, listen, all of the springtime, the flowers and the leaves, all of it's coming out. It's beautiful today. It really is. I even spent about an hour outside, sitting outside, talking to the tax people about getting everything done. We had to have an extension to have time to figure it all out. You know how it is. But anyway, tonight we are going to grip this issue. Creation is awesome, alive, and a witness. But it is not well. It is waiting for a new day. We're going to talk about how creation, I believe, is spiritual, sacred, alive, sentient, feels, and knows in its own way. But tonight, if you're brand new to this show, my name is Russ Dizdar. ShatterTheDarkness.net will give you everything. Very busy site, so take your time there. We tell you that all the time. And go to the middle, and like a book, just go down little by little by little by little. You've got the first section, listen to live radio. That's all about these shows during the week. You've got the next section every Sunday night at 10 p.m. Every week, preemption broadcast. Every week, well, now it's bi-weekly, the preemption or preemptor newsletter. Going to be coming out tomorrow, and other information. So go down the middle and take your time. All those links take you to the MP3s and radio interviews and the new series, Dark Rituals, Dark Powers. One of the most important ones we've ever done. And I believe with every ounce of my being that because of the Dark Rituals and the Dark Powers, that they are shaping political ideology, military vision, that an underground has developed beyond almost everyone's ability to even comprehend. An underground has developed. Chaos is coming. Catastrophic event. Before the New World Order, yes. Before the rise of the Antichrist, yes. There is coming an unveiling apocalypse. It's like the picture of a statue that's already been made, it's already been fashioned, but you cover it with a large sheet, and you have a great big celebration, whatever, and then you're going to have a moment of unveiling, apocalypse. You're going to pull the sheet away, and all the people are going to be able to look and see what was behind the sheet. What was behind that? Now you're pulling it away, and you've just done an apocalypse, an unveiling. Well, the Antichrist, most likely out there today, under the cloak of the secret power of lawlessness, under the supernatural sovereign restraint of God. But when the restraint is moved, obviously the sheet will be removed, and that which is already there will be unveiled to the world. Now, in the context of these end-time events, we have a catastrophic devolution, a decaying. Literally, the Greek words out of biblical revelation will refer to corruption, decay, destruction. The creation around us, that which struck. Now, unless you want to deal with HAARP and the conspiracies behind that, let us realize that there is a massive, massive revelation of creation being sentient, alive, aware, knowing, and held subject to decay, to destruction. There's a reason why, and that it is absolutely looking for the new day. The glorification. Friday night, we'll talk about the new earth, and it has nothing to do with Oprah and Eckhart Tolle. They are a million miles away from understanding what is about to take place. So in this week, catastrophic devolution, destruction, decay of creation. It's going on all around us. It's part of what I believe occurred in Katrina. It's part of what I believe is occurring in China and other places around the world, and the tectonic plates are moving and things are shifting. But it involves that creation has been stricken. It is in a sense sick. Something's wrong. Well, we're going to talk about that in a few moments. Okay, listen. I want to welcome friends that have emailed lately. I want to say thank you. It's great to hear from you. Appreciate that. Appreciate the prayers. And even some that have said, we'll see you down in Nashville this Friday and Saturday. Let me say it real quick. The conference in Nashville, April 23rd, 24th. It will involve from early in the morning till 6 or 7. Major, major, I believe, cutting edge, very cutting edge insight into all that is going on. We're going to have L.A., Lynn Marzulli, Mike Bennett from Future Quake Radio, Guy Malone from Roswell, Alien Resistance, Tom Baonic from Future Quake Radio, Joe Jordan, MUFON. He's put out the DVD, Unholy Communion, and a book coming. Chris White from Nowhere to Run. going to deal with the 2012 deception. And Chris Pinto, the documentary filmmaker. And there'll be Derek Gilbert from PID Radio also. And then myself will all be there. If you scroll down on the ShatterTheDarkness.net site to where it says the conference for Nashville, click on www.last-days.net. And you could even go and look at the schedule and the very topics that every one of these individuals will be bringing. Hours and hours and hours, 2 days worth of tremendous information. I am praying that you come. I am hoping that you'll be down there. There's plenty of time to make your decision to come now. So we encourage you, and we're hoping to see you. And if you do come down and you heard it on this radio station, please let me know. We'd like to know that, like in St. Louis, like in Michigan, like in Mansfield, that listeners have come in. And I've been told, as I met with Tom Dunn, who is setting up the conference, that, listen, from 17 different states, people are going to be showing up in Nashville. 17 different states in the United States. So, hey, to the Canadians, come on down. And to those other places, we think it's a cutting-edge conference, and we're hoping that you'll be there. We appreciate your consideration. Asking for all the believers to keep us in prayer concerning it. We need that. But let me tell you something. What is happening to creation, to the environment? Now, even the movie Avatar gives a demonstration of mankind's evil against the environment, the New Age-ish counterfeit view of the spiritual nature of creation, revolting Mother Gaia and all of that. And again, you've got to ask the questions. Where did Mother Gaia come from? Where did Mother Earth come from? Where's all of that? And you're going to lose the incredible revelation, the truth, about the awesome nature of creation. And I'm going to tell you again that it's not only spiritual, sacred, it's alive, aware, it is hurting, it is groaning, the idea of an emotional hurt, it is in travail, in deep pain. That is the creation. That is the dirt you stand on and the entire planet. It is in a devolution. It is in a decaying process. And more of the earthquakes and the environmental collapses are going to occur as we get closer and closer to the end of days. You know why? Something has infected all of creation. Now, I began the show tonight with engaging in the issue in the beginning. Did the aliens create the world? If so, then we need to use their name in vain for the horrible way they have left it. What's the answer then? Won't they answer us? Won't they tell us why death, rape, disease, war, bloodshed, human pain and misery? Won't they step in and help if they're a master intelligent race? So I'm shocked that even physicists and scientists and those from NASA, those who know the space programs that do believe and are hoping for a disclosure of these extra-dimensional, what they believe would be an intelligent race. But I don't believe in any sense of the term that finite entities created the massive, massive universe or the galaxy or our planet or humankind. I believe that if you take that, again, there is a devolution, there is a degrading of humanity. I think we all forget the sense of Imago Dei, the sense of what we were meant to be, that which we wish, the ideal of being eternal and being important and being significant and being sacred and being spiritual. Well, again, that has all had an interruption. We're going to talk about again that. But let me mention this. As you read the words in the Bible in the beginning, I mean, listen, the scientists are going back. The super collider. They're trying to smash the particles to scrape a fingernail of God, basically. They want to go beyond the beginning. There's a search. But there's a belief that there was a beginning. A beginning. Obviously, if we think through the alien issue, that, they are finite in every way. They are flawed. They seem to be evil. And let's ask another question. If they are finite, where'd they come from? I mean, really, who created them? And who created them? And who created them? You know, it's like some have said, you back up until you come to the uncreated creator, the uncaused cause. And this is where we come to infinite presence, the ability of infinite God in creation, where there is intelligence. It's almost like in our moral decadence and our moral mental breakdown, we don't want to acknowledge that an infinite, intelligent, living, personal God has made everything. Why? Well, because we can't pull his hand into the super collider, run it through the Atlas, and then, you know, under our human frail, finite little microscopes, that, we want to pull God under our scope and dissect God, and we want to be able to explain it. So, again, here comes finite mankind with their science. And because they can't fit it within their little toy box, a little toy box of science, they can't come to the acknowledgement which is imprinted in them and in all of creation. So to the scientists tonight, let me say, that you are deeply missing. If all you use is the little tiny finite limited toys, scientific toys, to try to get at the creator, you will continue to miss the mark. Finite humanity, I don't care how brilliant the science, will not be able to subject the infinite God under its dissecting microscopes. Very important to realize that we're also here. Now think about this, and I think that Richard Dawkins and others need to get out of the goofy atheism that is based on a moral anger, that we came from nothing, that out of nothing something came, out of nothing. Let's ask the question now, what is nothing? Nothingness. Nothing means nothing. No protons, no electrons, no particles, no atoms, nothing. Out of nothing comes material existence. Out of nothing comes the atoms, the particles, the protons, the electrons, the molecules, all of material existence. Out of nothing. Well, how? How out of nothing? If nothing is nothing, if nothing is no pre-existent material, I think it's insane to say that something as vast as the universe, something as big as the universe, something as beautiful as the earth, and then humanity, that all of this came from nothing. Do you believe that nothing even exists? I mean, if nothing literally, by definition, is nothing, how do you gauge that? How do you put that under the microscope? How do you examine nothing? I don't think that we understand when we say, or when those who don't believe God, don't want God to have a part in creation, I don't think they understand when they say, well, it all came out of nothing. Well, then they're going to have to back up and say, well, Russ, okay, there was pre-existent atoms. Protons, electrons, molecules, particles. There was pre-existent material. Then out of the pre-existent material came something. Question comes again, where did the pre-existent material come from? Out of nothing. Out of nothing? Did nothing give pre-existent material so that somehow the non-intelligent pre-existent material collided in total chaos and chance and randomness and then ushered into existence planets, a sun, a galaxy, an earth at the right place, tilted just correctly, with air, water, and then humanity. So out of nothing comes pre-existent material that somehow collides and then brings something. Something very clear, something very intelligent, something alive, something that interacts, something that works. I mean, I'm talking to you with a mouth. My ears have microphones. I heard voices earlier when I called in to connect for the show. I have eyes. I'm looking at screens, computer screens that were made by people. To my left is a fax machine. There's a light in front of me. There's a computer keyboard. I'm speaking into a microphone. It's being recorded. It's going to be up in the archives. Here I am with a little bit of intelligence putting these things together and laying them out, and you're listening. You've got ears that can hear the sounds that can come into your head and that you can begin to equate. You can either agree with or you can disagree with. You can think through. You can do a lot of things. The human brain is amazing. The human understanding. Your heart is pumping. Some kind of electrical energy that causes it to continue to pump the blood through your system. Takes the oxygen, takes the heat. And you're more than just a bag of bones. You're more than just a bag of bones. You're more than just a skeleton that meat was thrown onto it. You're more than that. The alien-ology leaves us with massive declension, massive, it strips majesty away. Coming from nothing to pre-existent material to creation, I believe is absurd. I believe that there are scientists. I believe Bertrand Russell. I believe Richard Dawkins, with a moral anger and without reality in their hearts and minds, can only project any and everything they can that replaces the possibility of God. Now let's go back and say, instead of nothing or pre-existent material that came from where, that somehow collided together and formed the universe, the galaxies, the one we're in, the sun, the planets, and this particular one in the right position, et cetera, et cetera. So what we need to do is drop back a little bit now and think in terms of an infinite, immeasurable, personal, intelligent, living God out of immaterial existence. Oh, God exists. But God is beyond the material existence. God cannot be reduced to atoms and particles. God is not made up of atoms and particles. You have clearly that God is immaterial. His being, his nature, is beyond the material universe. So, not to make any scientists cry working on the super collider, CERN, but no matter how many times you smash particles and, you know, get them new ones to come through the Atlas to somehow detect the God particle, there is no God particle. There is more immaterial. I mean, there's more material particles, but God is immaterial. So instead of out of nothing, something came. Now let's begin to think through out of immaterial existence, out of God, out of God. See, even the phrase ex nihilo, out of nothing, something. Well, theologians, really what they mean is out of no pre-existent material, out of no pre-existent material substance, atoms, particles, so forth, comes creation. Literally, the picture is out of the immaterial God, out of God and all that God is, out of comes the immediate and special act of the material existence. God created. And I'm going to tell you now that there is vast, vast meaning when you look at biblical revelation. That God that made, that literally, you can say, threw out the material and then shaped the material. There's an immediate release in the material creation, and then there's a shaping, a forging, and eventually there is the setting in of Adam, Adam, humankind. Let us make Adam in our likeness and in our image, male and female, he created them. Out of a special act, was Adam created out of pre-existent material? In a sense, yes. Because the earth was here then, and all the materials were here then, and the concept of even dust was here. And so out of existent material, the immaterial, infinite, Creator God fashions Adam. And then he, God, immaterial God, out of no pre-existent spiritual presence, creates or breathes into Adam, mankind, the breath of life. The human spirit was directly created. And from that point on with Adam and Eve, with the first parents, and we know that by DNA and linguists and so forth, we can all go back. You've got grandparents. They've got grandparents. They've got grandparents. They've got grandparents. They've got grandparents. It all goes back to an original beginning pair. In the beginning, there was a man, there was a woman. There was a male, there was a female. And from the incredible, awesome, intelligent God, can I say it this way? Don't get too mad at me. Not from nothing, not from the aliens, came this incredible humankind. And I want you to hear me when I say that everything else was shaped and made and created with the ultimate apex, the goal. God didn't just create the planets and just leave them. I mean, they're beautiful. God and the angels could have looked at them for whatever, forever. But the reason for the creation of this planet was because of the ultimate, the ulterior, the goal, the apex. God was creating and fashioning humankind. If you want to embrace finite, flawed, failed, you know, aliens and try to chase them and find them, I think you'll spend your life like that man I talked about at the Theosophical Society. 40 years. And he told me he's not found one alien. He told me that in his lifetime, he doesn't believe we'll ever engage them. He doesn't know if they're extraterrestrial, probably believes they're more extra-dimensional, and I do. I believe there's entities out there. And I believe they are evil, and I believe they've got a plot, and I believe they're working in an agenda. But I also want to stand, you know, in the middle of the woods when the deer are running by, and a little chipmunk goes by, and I'm standing in the woods sweating, smelling the pines, looking at the absolute sheer beauty. I can raise my arms and let creation pour forth communication. The invisible qualities of God, His divine nature. I can close my eyes and smell the pine and say, God, this is awesome. Because I know the author of creation, the author of redemption, the creator is the redeemer is the creator. And I'm going to pray that tonight, that if you're listening and you're a seeker, you're a searcher, you're a psychic, you're a remote viewer, you are someone that believes you don't know where it all came from. Maybe it's the aliens, maybe it's nothing. I'm going to ask you to think it through. I don't believe finite, flawed existence can bring about such creation. I think it takes a infinite, omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent, more than just a being. Because when it comes to humanity that can think and that can talk and that can communicate, and you and I have personality, if you've met me, you know that I have personality. And if you meet me and you're around me long enough, you know that I can joke around and laugh, and you can find out some of the things I think that I like and that are important. You can see me as yourself, a unique personality. You are only one of a kind. There is no other Russ Dizdar on all the planet. Never has been, never will be. Is this what chance or random collisions of pre-existent material spun and out of this unintelligent, out of this chaotic, out of this nothing, out of this, even the pre-existent material comes what? All the order comes personality, comes human beings, comes love, comes hope, comes dreams, comes the ability to procreate and bring children into the world. When I look at my daughter when she was one, or even now when she's 19, do I sit back and think, wow, the aliens all helped us do this? Crazy old aliens. Well, really, all of this came from nothing. I don't know where it's going. Don't know where I came from. Don't know where I'm going. Don't know what it's all for. Don't know why we love. Don't know why there's what we call evil in the world. I think when you absolutely, and maybe purposely, as Romans chapter 1 says. You ever read it? Romans chapter 1? Where it talks about that the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men, who suppress the truth by their wickedness. I believe the truth is suppressed by wickedness. I believe that atheism, even the agnostics, deism, existentialism, nihilism, theisms. You know what I believe? I believe that there is a purposed suppressing of the truth based on their moral rejection of God. You ever read Romans chapter 1, verse 18 on down, when it talks about, since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation, kitenzo is the word, since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, and divine nature have been clearly seen. Have been clearly seen, understood. It's an incredible word when you look these words up and really begin to study a little bit and see the impact of this revelation. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, you're going to find out in biblical revelation and you're going to find out that all creation, from the moment of its existence, including atoms, particles, protons, electrons, neutrons, all of it brings revelation, brings a witness. As a matter of fact, you can go to the Old Testament, you can find a scripture that says that all of creation pours forth speech. The heavens declare the glory of God. You ever read that? You ever read where it talks about that all creation pours forth speech, that there's communication. Since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, eternal power, aliens don't have that. Nothingness is nothing. If nothingness is nothing, then it has no eternal power. It has no divine nature. It has no invisible qualities. No qualities. Nothing is nothing. You can't get anything out of nothing. Nothing doesn't spawn nothing because nothing, there is nothing there to spawn even nothingness. Come on. So, God is revealing, and I believe that creation is a witness, is a revelator, reveals a communicator of God's existence. God's infinite existence, intelligent existence. I do believe the ontological, cosmological, teleological, so-called theological arguments, I believe they are all valid. I believe it's a moral choice that denies the existence of God. Notice that in atheism, the agnostics, the deists, nobody can disprove God. Nobody can say there is no God. I mean, they can say it with their mouth. I can say there's no George Washington. I've never met him, never seen him. I can say there's no China. I've never been there. I can say there's, but again, we're dealing with finite, limited abilities. Once again, God paints the picture of humanity, for although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking, scientists' thinking, became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images. Now you can go on and read the rest of Romans chapter 1. I want you to think in terms of Romans chapter 8. If we're dealing with the fact of the environment, creation, the catastrophic decay, devolution, the breaking down of the created order, it is occurring. Tonight, Monday, April 19th, 2010, in this 1 hour, providential? Yes. The title, Creation is Awesome, Alive, and a Witness, but it's not well. Now go to Romans chapter 8 and begin to take a look from verse 18 down. Let me give you a quick overview. It says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Let's talk about believers in Christ. Whoever in all the world has believed in Christ, the gift of eternal life, the coming glorification, indestructible immortality, is in the gift of salvation. You read 1 John chapter 5, you're going to read very clearly. when God says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you might know that you have eternal life. Now, connected with the redemption of mankind comes the redemption of the earth, the redemption of creation. Something's wrong with creation. Creation is breaking down. Creation is slipping. Something's wrong. I'm going to tell you again, based on biblical revelation, most New Agers have never heard this. I want to say most Christians probably have never heard this. That creation is spiritual, sacred, alive, aware, knows, and is in pain and is looking forward to a new day. Creation. Now, I'm not personifying creation at all. I reject the concept of pantheism because it's so less than the concept of direct, immediate creation from the infinite, personal, living God, and that this creation is spiritual, sacred, and alive. Spiritual because it is by God. Bible says God is spirit. It is spiritual because God creates humankind with a human spirit that is able to spiritually, and at that time before the fall of the human race, visually interact with God. Spiritual because creation pours forth communication and reveals the existence of the Creator God, His intelligence, His power, His eternal nature. It is a witness pointing to God. And I believe honest individuals can acknowledge that. I believe those that are angry, mad, or morally reject God shut their eyes, their capacity to see and discern and look at creation and read it. Read it like a book. Listen to it. Look at it. Study it. It's communicating. It's pouring forth speech. It's telling of a designer. It's telling of an intelligence that is beyond anything and everything finite. It's talking about a beginning and someone behind the beginning. Scientists at CERN, behind the material existence that you are scraping at, is the immaterial God that by your toy, the supercollider, you cannot suck His hand into it. God is just beyond you. I love that. Now, there's people that are mad at that based on their pride, the futility of the thinking. I have no problem. The God that dwells within me, the Christ that I know, the presence of God inside enables me to look at creation as it really is. It is spiritual. God made it. God made it for us. It communicates. It reveals the spirit, the being, God, who's behind it all. Number two, it's sacred. It's sacred in that God made it. It is, God owns it, my friends. Out in my driveway, earlier today, I washed the car that I own. It's mine. And I'm going to drive it down to Nashville. And it's not a sacred thing to me, but I own it. I've got the title. Please understand something. God, a living, personal, infinite, intelligent, immortal, indestructible God, He made. And it is sacred. Every biblical revelation out of the Psalms, out of Genesis, out of Romans 8, out of John 1, out of Colossians 1, will demonstrate that it is sacred, that God made it, God created it, that it is His. That's why we can read in the book of Revelation that God's going to deal with those who rape the earth, who destroy the earth. And now when we look at Romans chapter 8, I'm going to tell you again that it is, creation is alive and aware and hurting. Let's go over it real quick. In verse 19, we have this, the creation, ketidzo. From the word ketidzo, it's involving creation. The earth, the entire created order. Look what it says. Creation, ketidzo, waits. It is waiting. Let me ask you a question. You ever wait on a bus, wait on an elevator, wait on somebody to pick you up, wait for a television, waited for tonight's show to come on? That's something we do. Creation waits in eager expectation. There is almost a personification of nature. It is sentient. It is alive. It is aware. It is aware that it's been subjected to destruction. It is aware that it has pain. It actually emits a groaning. Creation emits an awareness and a groaning, but also a knowing that it's going to change. This, my friends, is what we need to do. Since the days of the Enlightenment, since humanism and all the rest, there has been a desacralization of the creation. There's been a stripping away, as if creation is nothing more than a strip mine, where we dig for diamonds, blood diamonds, where we drill for oil, where we move mountains, burn down forests, put toxic waste in the oceans. I mean, listen, as a believer in Christ, I reject New Age theology, New Age conclusions. I reject their stealing of what God says about creation, it being sentient, spiritual, sacred, alive, aware, that it communicates to the fallen world, God, eternal God, enormous, awesome God, intelligent God, made this. God, the Spirit of God, the infinite Spirit of God, who was involved in the shaping, Genesis chapter 1, God created bara out of special act. The materials were thrown out. Years ago, we bought a house in the Hartville area of Ohio. My daughter was about 4 or 5 years old, I think, at the time, and she was going to her first school, and maybe she was 6 at the time. I don't remember. But I wanted to build a clubhouse for her in the backyard. So I went down to the lumber place. I ordered all this wood. One day I got home. You know what they did? They brought a truck. They brought all the materials, all of it wrapped up, you know, and then dumped on my driveway. It was a big pile of materials. All of the materials were there. So I cut off all the bands, and I began to drag 4x4s, 2x4s, plywood. I began to drag it all behind the house. And I began to cut and to shape and to drill and to saw. And pretty soon I built an 8x8, 5 foot high on the inside, a door, a window. I built it 3 feet, well, maybe 2 feet off the ground, away from the wet. And then I made a hole in the ceiling to go up, and I made literally a deck on the top of it. My daughter would come home, you know, day after day from school. When she got home, come running around to the backyard to see how far I got. Day by day, she could see something new. I'm going to tell you something. It almost took me a month. I'm not a carpenter. But I built something that she and the kids in the neighborhood played and played and played and played for years. Even I got in there. I couldn't stand up. I had to sit down. But it was a clubhouse, a little house. She wanted flowers around it like the regular house. She wanted it painted the same color as the regular house. She loved that thing. She was in it. I got pictures of it. Great. It was awesome. But any carpenter seeing it would laugh at my abilities, but she didn't. God spoke the material existence, put it out there. The Spirit of God began to take the pieces, if you will, and it began to shape. There was a moving, and you know, the infinite Spirit of God. There was the moving, and then we find step by step by step, and then ultimately, and the ultimate reason is to place a living being, a human being. Imago Dei, eternal in majesty, glorious, able to spiritually commune and visually commune with God. That is until the fall of the human race, in which our spirits went dead to God. Corruption came in. Genetically, a death code and a sin code entered. Mankind opened the door to radical evil. Death entered in. Cain kills Abel. From that moment in time, the Trail of Tears, to this very day, in which I am now expressing not only and pointing you not only to the Creator, but the Creator is the Redeemer. Yahweh Adonai has become, you know, in human flesh, Jesus Christ. Elohim that made, let us create Adam in our image and our likeness. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, inseparably, eternally, infinitely one. See, God's being is beyond, in a real sense, our finite comprehension, but God reveals and communicates and makes known to where we can be blown away by God's existence. Now, if you take a look at Romans chapter 8, you're going to find out verse 19. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed, the unveiling. Believers in Christ out there, that involves the glorification. When mortal in an, well, the Greek word Adam is used there in 1 Corinthians 15, in an unsplittable moment of time, in a flash, the twinkling of an eye, by the exertion of God, the immaterial, God exerts, power is expressed in to the material world. The dead in Christ will rise first. We who are alive, harpezo, caught up. Mortal putting on glorious, indestructible immortality that will not only live forever, but see once again God face to face. Listen, I'm running out of time tonight. We'll finish this up tomorrow night. Take a read of Romans 8. We're going to go right into it in the beginning tomorrow night. Want you to know that Jesus Christ loves you. Come to Christ if you don't know Him. Believers, become fierce in prayer, my friends, and do the will of God. Be a witness for Christ. Listen, this is Russ Dizdar, shatterthedarkness.net. Good night.